It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
A tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
It's the most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Good morning to you, mate. Where would you rather be than where we are right now? We're up in the Carlton Draft Deck overlooking the home straight here at the Caulfield Racecourse, mate, and it is absolutely superb.
It's a beautiful morning, Jay. Welcome. Not like Sydney, where it's bucketing down rain.
No.
It is beautiful here. You're right. We're overlooking the finishing line at the racetrack. We've got the pool deck in front of us, which will be filled later. There's marquees everywhere. It's a beautiful morning.
Yep.
I am excited, I must admit. I just walk through the gates and you get that nice little tingle coming to a spring carnival racing meet in Melbourne. It's up there with grand final day. It's an awesome day to be at and looking forward to a great show.
And perfect weather. What is it? 23 degrees today, clear blue skies. I tell you what, Joey, every morning I wake up at about 6:30 a.m. and that's because my five-year-old son, Fletcher, normally knees me in the back. He sort of climbs into our bed and gives me a kick or something, and normally I'm a bit flat with him, but this morning, mate, I just jumped out of bed, I gave him a big cuddle, I said, that's all right, mate, I'm off to the races today, and it's going to be an absolutely sensational day. Up in Sydney, as you said, another big race day up there, the Everest is on, and I'm going to call you Winners Montagna for the next 2 hours, because that's what you're going to deliver, Joey.
That's the only problem when you come to the races, Jay, is tips come out everywhere. Everyone's got a tip, everyone's got some mail, and you've got to work out which one's true, but you're right, when I had to say goodbye to my wife and little Noah this morning, sorry, darling, I'm off to work, was what I said today. I'm off to work. I've got to work on a Saturday. So how good's this?
Yep.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day. We've got a great cast of people coming in to speak to us today and looking forward to it. Hopefully we can find a few winners for the people out there that don't really have a big punt, but this time of year it's okay to have a little flutter and start being able to save some money for Christmas.
I know you're up for the contest today, Joe, because you got your best socks on. You got the blue ones with the little yellow dots. Normally you just come in with a normal sort of athletics Nike ones on, but you got your best socks on today, so I know you're up for the contest. You're right, we have a huge lineup. Darren Weir, is he the hottest trainer in the country at the moment?
He's going to give us winners. Don't worry about that. Darren Weir will give us a couple of winners today.
He's going to join us in the second hour, of course. Now, Mitch McCarron, the Melbourne United shooting guard. Can you believe the basketball last night, Joey?
Don't get me started, Jay. The basketball, Melbourne United, it went to quadruple overtime.
Yep.
Only the second time in the history of the NBL
ever. It's
gone to quadruple overtime.
Yep.
But what about my story?
What happened?
So last night, did a bit of work for Fox Footy, got home. Aaron was watching a movie downstairs, so I said, I snuck upstairs to watch a bit of the basketball.
Yep.
Got to the end of the game, overtime.
Yep.
Beautiful. So I watched the first overtime. Aaron wanted to watch Ozark. We're in the middle of watching Ozark on Netflix.
It's overtime.
Great series. It's overtime. So I say to Aaron, can we just watch the second overtime? Bear with me, you know, basketball she
Hang
can
on,
handle.
Dal.
She hates cricket, footy bearable, but the basketball she can watch. She loves Casper Ware. She loves little Casper Ware.
Yep.
So we watched the second overtime. Got to the third overtime. I said, Aaron, we've watched this. I need to watch the third overtime. She started getting impatient. She wanted to watch an episode of Ozark before we went to bed. End of third overtime.
Yep.
I said, I gave in.
You lost.
I said, okay, let's watch Ozark. So I missed the fourth overtime. I sacrificed it to do the right thing and watch a nice TV show with Aaron in bed last night. So I can't believe I missed a quadruple overtime. History in the making. But we will chat to Mitch McCarron more about that because he was the man who hit the clutch bucket in quadruple overtime. So we'll find out more from him a bit later on.
What a husband you are, Joey, to pass the remote over at that clutch moment. As we said, we've got Darren Weir coming up in the second hour. Mitch McCarron just after 11:30 in Hamish McLaughlin. This is his time to shine. The star of Channel 7. He's got going to join us in the second hour as well. We're going to get all your winners and tips, of course, Joey, because I know you're loaded. But next,
plenty of footy still going on. And you have been the man this week, Jay. You are breaking stories every single day.
I know, Joey.
You must have been working overtime this week. You've
been a big week
on the phones, flat out. Because you have broken that many stories this week. It's been credit to you. We've all been, it's a bit of a drama going on, isn't there? There's really storylines building up around this trade period. It's become a little mini season in itself. So I'm looking forward to chatting to you after the break about all the latest trade news and what is going to happen with Jesse Hogan.
Yes, Jesse Hogan, Chad Wingard, Tom Scully, all the big names after this. We'll be talking trade. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, the Caulfield Racecourse on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, that's Paul Kelly to her door on Triple M's Dead Set Legends live, Joey, from Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day in the Carlton Draft Front Dart Top Deck. Thanks, of course, to Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh, Caulfield Cup Carnival, Turn Racing on its head. Tickets, of course, at mrc.racing.com.
If you're having list problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems.
But Trade News ain't one.
Hit me.
It's Jay-Z's Trade News on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Still not sure about that opener, but we'll roll with it. Our great producer, Ryan Warren. It's okay.
I like it, Joey. It's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna, of course. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Let's get stuck into the trade talk, Joey, because I love the poker face, the poker, the sort of the brinkmanship, the posturing that happens at this time of year. What's he worth? That's too much, you know, blah, blah, blah. There are some absolutely massive names at the centre of all this, and it all finishes on Wednesday night. You'll be able to catch
prime
it on
time.
Yeah, catch it on Fox, Joe. And I want to ask you about Jesse Hogan. In fact, let me give you the lay of the land at the moment. Melbourne has been adamant that it would only accept pick 5 and pick 23 at worst for Jesse Hogan, right? So they want two really decent picks. With pick 5, they turn that into Steve May. Fremantle have called their bluff in the most upfront form, said, no way, he's only worth one first-round pick. They try to give pick 11 and pick 20 and a future second-round pick, which was knocked on its head. So we're in this really awkward place at the moment where Jesse Hogan is facing the prospect of turning around and coming back and playing at Melbourne next year, possibly even in the back line, if you can believe that. Tell me, Joey, what is Jesse Hogan worth to you?
Well, it's in the eye of the beholder, to be honest. It depends on what it's what you value him to be at, and everyone's got an individual view. It's like buying a house. What do you value at it? What are you prepared to pay? Fremantle have played their hand. They are not prepared to pay two first-round draft picks. They don't think he's worth it. So I think it's okay for Fremantle to say, this is what we're prepared to pay, and if we don't get it, we'll walk away. It's just like buying a house, Jay. You've got your limit. You've got $1 million to spend. If it goes over, you say, well, sorry, we walk away. Oh, look, I understand Fremantle that we're talking about. They need a key forward, and they've been chasing one for a while. They do, but I don't think they necessarily need Jesse Hogan for next season. They're not going to win a premiership next year.
Who's going to kick their snags, Joe?
Well, they might get Rory Lobb is what they still will intend to get. They've got young Brennan Cox. But what I'm saying is Fremantle can hold firm, stay strong, maybe keep that bluff, and say, well, we'll just have a crack at Jesse Hogan the following year and get him for cheaper. So, look, and I don't mind it from Fremantle. And you talk about pick 5, Mel. To be honest, at the moment, Fremantle don't have pick 5. They haven't traded Lachie Neale. And if you read between the lines, they're also saying, they might hold firm and say, we're prepared to keep Lachie Neale. So Melbourne want pick 5. Fremantle don't even have pick 5. Their only pick at the moment is pick 11. So really, that's all Fremantle can offer. So I'm not sure why Melbourne, if they think Jesse Hogan is worth two first-round draft picks, why they're so happy to let him go. That's where I'm interested in.
So there's more to the Jesse Hogan story.
There's got to be a little bit more to it. And I've heard Fremantle say a couple of times they've done their due diligence on Jesse Hogan, and that's all they're prepared to give up is pick 11 and a future second-round pick, because sometimes you've got to take everything in consideration as a footballer. Yes, he's a talented young superstar key forward, but there's a price cut-off point for every player in the competition. And that's all Fremantle are prepared to pay. I think it's up to Melbourne to come to the party, to maybe just relax what they want a little bit if they want to end up getting...
You're saying Melbourne should blink?
I think so. It depends on what... I think Melbourne are more desperate to get
him
Stephen
out.
May... Or not to necessarily get him out, but to get maybe Stephen May in.
Yep.
Fremantle, I think, can be a little bit more patient because they're not in the window just yet. They can go to the draft and get some more talented kids in this draft that's meant to be one of the best drafts in a long time, and then have a crack at Hogan next year. Or maybe go and get someone else. Johnny Patton, we hear, might be on the market. So it's really interesting. It's who's holding their nerve, who's going to fold first. I really like these games, and it's going to go right down to the wire Wednesday night.
Can Lachie Neale, Steve May, and Jesse Hogan all go back to their original clubs with their tails between their legs, having sort of trade? If it gets denied, can they still play excellent footy at their clubs next season?
Yes, they can, and I think they should. They are professional footballers. Yes, ideally, their preference is to get to their club of choice. That's okay. You're allowed to have that preference. But it doesn't always work out as you want. And I think as a professional athlete these days, you should still be able to play at the club if it doesn't work out.
Suck it up.
Bryce Gibbs did it. Bryce Gibbs wanted to go to Adelaide 12 months earlier,
Good point.
He had a terrific season at Carlton. If you're a professional athlete and you've got pride in your football, you still knuckle down and play well for that football club. I think, too, clubs should actually hold a bit firm on these players wanting to break out of a contract. Understandable, they can ask. You've got every right as a player to ask to go to another club. But if you're contracted, you have to know in the back of your mind, I might have to stay. It's the same as Tim Kelly. He wants to get to the West Coast Eagles, But he understands I'm contracted. If I stay at Geelong, I'll still knuckle down. I'll still try my best for Geelong, and then I'll ask to go again next year. So I think these players and clubs have just got to continue to mature in this regard, and they can't always get what they want, the footballers.
What about the bombshell at the Hawks over the past 48 hours, Joey? They've been up for such a long period of time, and now we know that they're into Chad Wingard and Tom Scully. Now, the scenario is here, unbelievably, that the Hawks pick up Tom Scully, one of the best gut runners in the game.
He's hardly underrated.
Hardly goes to the bench. Yep, goes to the bench for pick 53, and to get Wingard, they give Ryan Burton and pick number 15. Is that good darts from the Hawthorn Footy Club?
I like Hawthorn's play to get Wingard and Scully. We know that they're a team that's decided, for strategy reasons, we're not going to necessarily go to the draft and get the best kids. We're going to use those draft picks to get mature players that we know are guns.
But Burton?
Burton's a risky one. I think Burton's a talented footballer. And Hawthorn don't have a plethora of stars under the age of 22, and he's one of them. But reading between the lines, there might be a bit more to Ryan Burton than we see on the football field. I'm wondering whether Hawthorn are prepared to let him go because maybe, I don't know, his work ethic or he might
training.
Not... Training standards. I mean, he did finish 15th in their best and fairest, I think, this year. Yep. So maybe there's more to it than we know. What do you understand from a Hawthorn perspective about this trade?
Yeah, so they preferably would just rather do pick 15. Yep. So they offered pick 15
probably
for
not quite
Wingard.
Enough for Wingard. Port, that's the thing. They need a sweetener.
Port said you're joking. They're only going to do the deal if they include Ryan Burton as well. Just signed a 3-year deal. Remember, finished second in the Rising Star, Joey. We know he's an enormously talented player, but didn't have his best year. So it will be very interesting. Hey, next, Joey, we're going to talk about these rules. Now, you were a specialist kicker Rinnera. I know you don't like it. I know you get a bit grumpy at times when I mention this, but I'm going to ask you about how you would make the most of this new goal square rule, where basically from fullback, you can just dart off, Joey. You can just run off and kick it as far as you want. So we're going to talk about that and the change to the ruck rules after this. It's Jay Clark, specialist kicker Rinnera, Lee Montagna, coming up more next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends live at the Caulfield Guineas Day Racecourse. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. It is Jay Clark and Lee Montagna covering all things sport until 12 o'clock. We are live at Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day, Joey, up here in the Carlton Draft front bar top deck. Just the magnificent viewing over the home straight here at the Caulfield race course. We are talking footy and the rules changes which are coming in for next season. But just to cover off on the trade chat, Joey, what about Jordan Ruffett, the Bulldog sort of ruckman, bit parts spare, parts tall, going to Collingwood? So we know the Pies have been interested in Steve May and probably need another key defender. Does Jordan Ruffett fit the bill for the Pies, do you think?
I don't mind it as a backup option. Yep. I don't necessarily think he would be in their starting team, but it's always, I still like the idea of getting guys just to be backups. Every other sport in the world, soccer, NFL, they all have backups because you need them at some point.
You don't think he's in Collingwood's best 22?
I don't think so. No, I wouldn't
think. Is that because he's not aggressive or robust enough?
In what role? Just as a key defender?
I would say probably as a key defender, backup ruckman.
Yeah, I don't think as a key defender he probably is good enough. I think they're okay with what they've got. Maybe with some injuries to Dunn and Schoenberg early in the year, he might get opportunity. Backup ruckman, I think Brody Grundy's a ruckman that can play 90% of the game time anyway. So, yep. But I also think a player like that, who's a really strong character, good leader, a good football person, I think he's worth having on your list if you don't give up much for him at all, which Collingwood won't, so I don't mind it.
West Coast, of course, had a look at him, but it instead went for your mate, Tommy Hickey from St Kilda. Do you like that, Joey? Tommy Hickey's probably a bit more one-dimensional.
Yeah, he's a bit more athletic. So I think West Coast, I think Tom Hickey had some good games against the Eagles in the past, and I think they thought the big ground at Perth might suit Tom Hickey. A bit more athletic. He'll, again, be a backup behind Nat Nui when he comes back into the side. So he might get first crack early in the year. But, good opportunity for Tom Hickey. He was sort of in and out. There was a bit of competition with him and Billy Longer at St Kilda. So
now Billy's the main man at St Kilda.
Yes. So Billy's still out of contract. The club have put it on him to get himself fit, get himself in a really strong headspace to attack St Kilda's number one ruck spot next season. So fingers crossed for Saints fans that Billy Longer has a good offseason.
Let's talk about these new rules, Joey. And in particular, it's almost the removal of the goal square. I mean, it's still going to be there painted on the field, of course, but because the man on the marker is going to be moved back 10 metres and you won't have to sort of tap it off your boot like you did so well back in your glorious 287-game career, how big a weapon will this be for defences now? Because you'll be able to kick the ball longer, rush it out of your defence.
Yeah, I'm going to go through these one by one. Look, for my perspective, early stages, there's been a lot of huff and puff about all these rule changes.
Yep.
In the end, I don't think many of them will have any difference on the game at all. So this one, now you don't have to kick the ball from the goal square. You can run out as far as you like.
Sprint away.
Well, we're making out like a player's going to get the ball and run 50 metres and kick the ball towards the half forward line. Really, most clubs these days were tapping the ball on their foot, taking their 5 or 10 metre yardage and kicking the ball outside defensive 50 anyway. Now you're just taking away, basically chipping it onto your foot, which doesn't really make much of a difference. So my first thought is it's not going to have a huge impact on kicking the ball out from fullback, really, in regards to scoring. I think you score from 3% of your kick-ins. You actually end up scoring. So I don't think it's going to make much of a difference at all. There's not going to be players balking the man on the mark, running to outside 50 and, you know, kicking the ball inside 50.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, of course we would. It sounds good, but the reality is, and sorry to people that are hearing it, it won't make much of a difference at all.
Did you used to practice the little tap onto your boot?
I was just ahead of my time. To be honest, there's a lot of players that kick the ball into themselves more than I did, Jay, but you think it's funny.
I think it's great. What about the change to the ruck? So now ruckmen will be able to grab onto the ball out of the ruck, and if they are tackled, they won't be pinged for holding the ball. So it's the removal of that prior opportunity.
Yeah. So it just gives them a little bit more opportunity to grab the ball out of the ruck with a bit more confidence. They're not going to get pinged holding the ball. Again, my view, it might happen a couple more times a game where a ruckman will grab it out and just quick kick it. Again, won't make a massive difference to the game at all.
Will it encourage clubs to play more ruckman, though? Because, you know, Richmond play Sean Grigg in the ruck. We've seen a lot of clubs not really play a backup ruckman. Will this encourage clubs to play two rucks in a game?
No, I don't think so. I think most clubs will stick to what they've got. I don't think it's going to change strategy too much. I think it just means if you've got an opportunity to grab the ball out of the ruck, a ruckman would be more inclined to do it knowing he probably won't get pinged holding the ball, but it won't change strategy or game plan at all.
Runners are gone, right? So, no, they can come on in the 45 seconds after a goal is scored.
Yep.
Will this impact, as we've sort of been talking about, will this favour the strong teams anyway and hurt the sort of lesser, younger teams?
This will probably have the most impact for clubs that fans won't notice, but it certainly will, because runners do play an important role for some clubs and not for others. And there are clubs that I know that are well ahead of the game in regards to rotations, where they know the timing exactly of when they come on and off the ground, and they do it themselves. Other clubs, I still know, younger clubs rely on the runner to run out and say, Jay-Z, Jake, time to come off. So that's going to be a big one over the off-season and pre-season that clubs are going to work on, and certainly clubs that have got strong leaders that can make decisions and make calls out on the ground, whether to slow the play down, a different strategy or a different setup. Strong leaders at football clubs will make a difference there. So, yes, that will favour the better teams with strong leaders.
How much did you listen to the runner? Did you sort of...
Not always. Oh, sometimes. There were sometimes you got messages from the runner where you rolled your eyes and thought, what the hell are you saying? Leave me alone. But, that'll have an impact on the game.
And lastly, for key forwards, I think this is going to be a good one. They're going to take out the hands in the back rule. So you're now going to be able to protect your space as a key forward a bit more. You can have that arm bar to lock out the defender in front of you. You just can't forcibly push them. You think this is going to favour the big boys?
Again, it'll have some minor differences. It might also favour the guy like Jeremy McGovern and Alex Rance to take some more marks. So, again, it'll be a minor shift. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to see much more contested marks. It'll impact them a little bit. And the last one is the 666 at a centre bounce.
Yep.
The two wingmen on the side, apparently now there's talk that all of a sudden the wingmen are going to have these one-on-one battles. That used to happen at 95% of centre bounces anyway, where the wingmen were the only two players on the side of the square. So again, very little difference to me that you'll see at a centre bounce.
So we've ended up with subtle tweaks rather than drastic changes, which I like, to be honest. I didn't want to see an overhaul of the game we already
considering
love.
Where the AFL started at the start of the year, that we thought there was going to be these starting positions and these huge rule changes. Now there are slight tinkers. I don't think much of them will have a significant impact on the game. Maybe some slight tweaks and variations. Hopefully it improves the standard of football.
Hey, Joey, next, it's Saturday scoreboard time. We're going to wrap up all the results from around the world in Australia over the past 48 hours. Usain Bolt scoring for the Central Coast Mariners. Tim Payne, the Australian cricket captain, is he the best sporting story in the country at the moment? I think there is a fair chance of this, Joey. And you're going to tell us about how Melbourne United won in four overtime. It's only the second time it's happened in 7,000 NPL games. Saturday scoreboard next. We're live at Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, and Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome back. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Lee Montagna here with Jay Clark. Of course, that was Born to Run from the boss, Bruce Springsteen. And Jay, the gates have opened here at Caulfield Racecourse and the fans rushed in to get their seats on the picnic benches. They are now full already in a glorious morning here at Caulfield. And it's now time for our regular segment.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday scoreboard time. We'll start with a bit of A-League because, interestingly, Jay, you wrote him off. You thought it was a bit of a gimmick.
Oh, bulldog.
Usain Bolt. You said he wouldn't make it. Well, he has scored two goals last night in a trial match for the Central Coast Mariners, making his A-League debut looking highly likely at some point after finally getting one at the back of the onion bag.
Joey, were his eyes open, though, as he kicked it on the left? I'm not sure.
You thought it's a gimmick and that he won't play. He will now. Not only will he play some A-League, he'll be the leading goal scorer of the A-League competition.
Early nomination, forgive me a spell.
So Usain Bolt is on the board. That's good, though, for the A-League with the season starting
soon.
Just
quickly on that, Joey. It's enormous for their marketing and for their sponsorship. This has gone around the world already against, you know, these two goals against the two bit club in a practice match. They would be thinking already that this has sort of paid off or been worthwhile.
I think it has been. I think it's great. And look, as we said, even if he doesn't really live up to any expectations as a soccer player, it's still great for the A-League.
Open your eyes, you say.
The other news throughout the week, Victoria won the JL Cup cricket, the one-day competition.
Our boys.
Cameron White, our boy, who we had on the show, scored another 80. He's seen them like beach balls this summer already. Yep. We're going to speak to Mitch McCarron, the Melbourne United new recruit, in what was an unbelievable game last night. For those that haven't heard yet, they won in quadruple overtime. Second time in NBL history a game has gone to quadruple overtime, 123-122. We'll chat to Mitch McCarron after 11:30, more about that amazing game. And, of course, Australia, the Australian cricket team, drew with Pakistan earlier in the week.
Amazing.
Usman Khawaja, what a hero he was. The match saver with 144 in the second innings, and I'm sure it would have been great celebrations for the Australian cricket team. Despite a draw, it was a great effort.
I hear, Joey, that, to be honest, that Timmy Payne, I'll talk about him in a second, just sort of got the boys back in the hotel room and watched a movie or something. The in-between is a few beers and a pizza and just sort of hung out and
That was their celebration.
I think so. I think it was real low-key. But I tell you what, I love the people listening in the car at the moment. I thought the last couple of hours of that test match with blokes surrounding the bat, you know, nine in-close fielders, you know, just that battle of will, of determination and patience, that was better than any Big Bash game.
I like that.
I would rather that the tenseness and the awkwardness of that compared to blokes belting sixes netting 20 runs to win in the last over. I absolutely loved it, Joey, because there was a knot in my stomach every ball.
It was awesome.
Joey. Yeah.
And Tim Payne, you're a big rap for Timmy Payne.
Well, is he not the best story in Australian sport at the moment? 18 months ago, Joey, this man couldn't get a game for his state team. Tasmania said, you're not keeping for us. In 18 months, he's captain of the national team, Joey.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, he's had 8 surgeries in his finger, and now it's the determination, the grit that you saw on his face as he went forward to block out the Pakistani spinners, ball after ball, hour after hour, Joey. That is an Australian captain we can be proud of.
He's going to bring back the Australian cricket culture where we're going to actually like the team again. We're actually going to embrace them as our own. I like it.
We fell out of love there for
a little bit. We did. Let's be honest. We all did. And I think they've recognised that. And circumstances have meant they've had to change their tact. And I like it. So hopefully they can continue on their way with this young, inexperienced cricket side and continue to put up some strong performances.
Now, you said you lost the battle in the remote last night watching
Ozark over the top of watching quadruple.
Yeah. How did you go when the cricket was on? Were you able to maintain control of it then, or did you surrender? You waved the white flag.
Bit of a flick out with the cricket. Flick back. You try and watch it. Aaron hates the cricket. Okay. That's one that so you have to try and just quickly sneak and flick a little bit of a look.
Oh, very good. Well, we are live, of course, at Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day. A massive day of racing action coming up. And next, Joey, you've got Hamish McLaughlin in. This man, he's the horse whisperer. He's going to give us winners today, of course, from the Caulfield Guineas Day. And up there in Sydney at the Everest. It's Hamish McLaughlin up next. Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. It's fair to say, Joey, we probably wouldn't make weight at the moment, would we, between the two of us?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm a bit too heavy at the moment.
It is a wonderful day here, of course, at the Caulfield Racecourse for the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day. Absolutely spectacular. And, well, we are thrilled and very lucky to have this man with us at the moment. He calls spectacularly throughout the whole football season and then just changes seamlessly to racing, tennis, cricket. He can can do it all. As I say, good morning to you, Hamish McLaughlin.
Jay-Z, nice to see you. Joey, it was quite nice coming out of the break. Absolutely spot on the description of you two. If you stayed out of the dining halls, you could probably ride weight. There was a race last night at Cranbourne. I think jockeys were riding at about 67. You blokes would be knocking on the door, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I need to go on a diet. Hey, I've put on 10 kilos since I finished football. It's amazing how quick it happens. As the weather warms up, though, I'll start to exercise.
Yeah, closer to 77. It's fair to say, Hamish.
You go to Warrnambool and right over the jumps.
Hey, this is your time to shine, Hamish. I know you absolutely love the races. Tell us where the passion for horses comes from. Because, you know, when we were youngsters, Joey and I, the first thing we used to do was ride our bikes or ride our skateboard. Is it right that you and Gil were on horses before you did any of that?
I reckon that's actually right. If you did the order, it would have been horses, bikes, skateboards. So my mother, her old man grew up down near Dunkeld, was a cattle farmer. My old man, he was on the farm as well. So both sides of the family were farms. So whenever we're moving sheep and cattle around, we're on horses. And mum would find it complicated if you're going to leave us behind. It was easier to put us in a horse and lead us to move the horse around, so to move the cattle around. So I reckon I was two. Gil would have been about the same. He's 2 years older than me.
On a horse at two?
Yeah, and we would have just been led around. They had those old wicker baskets almost, which sort of, I don't know whether they're safe or not, but you'd sit in them. You'd have a belt around you, and Mum would go and move the cattle with Dad for 3 or 4 hours, and we'd just sit in on the end of the lead rope. So Gil now rides a lot. He and I breed a few together. We race a few together. I've got 3 kids. All of them have been on horses, 6, 4, and 2. Gil's got kids. He's got 4 now. I think all 3 have, and the youngest one's about to get on.
So is it fair to say, out of all the sports, your football, the face of football, tennis, that horse racing is your number one passion? You love the horses?
I watch horse races, I reckon, definitely every week of the year, almost every day of the year. If I can't sleep, I've got the horse racing channel on watching the replays. I love the football, but there's something about the horses, given probably I was in it so early, and my mum was an owner trainer. We used to ride track work for her. Gil and I had a year around the world in 1997 after we both finished uni. We'd go from stable to stable doing track work, mucking out boxes. And once it's like a pub, the staff lock in. Once you're in and you cannot get out until the very end. And there's something about it that I love. And I love the fact that people find different things interesting about it. I love the fact that, you know, a school teacher from Darwin can win the cup with Rogan Josh. I love the fact that a taxi driver from Queanbeyan can buy a discard for $1,250, train it out of a caravan, win all around the world, including in front of the Queen. I love the fact that if you've got an unraced two-year-old, you've got hope. You know, it's just fun. And Sheikh Mohammed's been trying to win the Melbourne Cup for 20, 30 years. He can't do it.
So days like today then give you tingles. You love the spring carnival. You just get excited for days like today.
This is one of the best days on the calendar for the year. So you've got four group ones here. Mm-hmm. So you've got four group ones, which, you know, if you're not into the horse racing, the group one is the top end of the tree in terms of quality of race. You've got the Everest at Randwick, which Channel 7's covering both Randwick and Caulfield today. And, you know, the best jockeys, best horses. You can be in the middle of winter watching the horse racing, but you know the best are out in the paddock spelling. Whereas springtime, the best come out to play. It's been a pretty good few weeks, hasn't it? You have the Eagles playing one of the best of all time against the Pies, all up Winks last Saturday, all up four group ones.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good fun.
Who is the better horseman then, you or Gil? You who sort of...
I reckon if you put two unbroken colts in the yard, he'd be on it first.
Yep.
I'm a bit like I played my football. Good on the outside.
You're the finisher.
Yeah, I'm the finisher. I'm very good at getting the footy, not great at going and getting it. I get given it. But he's got an amazing ability to get on any horse and not have any fear at all.
You're, of course, the host of Channel 7's coverage, and it kicks off at midday here in Melbourne, and Bruce is up there at Sydney for the Everest. Have you got any interest in race calling? And how much of a skill is that? Because I'm amazed by how quickly they can identify the horses and jockeys.
So to your point around identification, I spoke to Matty Hill a few weeks ago. I said, 14-horse maiden at Bendigo. Never seen the horses before or the silks.
Yep.
How long do you need before jump? He goes, 5 minutes.
That's amazing.
I find that staggering. So today in a group one, I probably would know all the horses' silks. But what I would do badly is keep amazing momentum and have the crescendo at the right time. I'd go too early at the 1,200 or the 800. Whereas Matt Hill, particularly his call last week of Winks, he knew she was in trouble, said she was in trouble, and got it all the way perfect to the line. Like, he's got this great ability. In football, if there's nothing going on, you need to make sure you're not over the top. And when the moment comes, try and be there. The race callers do it race after race after race.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
So if you could call racing, what would you rather call, a Melbourne Cup or an AFL Grand Final?
There's big numbers listening to the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah,
and
there
it's
is.
Around the world. The thing that, this is Greg Miles talking as well, he said, It's extraordinary. You can have an amazing 363 days of calling races, 10 a day. Mm-hmm. If you get the last 12 seconds of the Melbourne Cup wrong, you've had a terrible race calling career.
Over.
So it would be a lot of pressure.
It's the 12 seconds that get replayed over and over again. Like Martin Power, 97, it's been replayed forever with McCoy the Doremus call.
Yep.
Yeah, view to nose. You know when view and Bauer went to the line? He said view to nose. It's like, really? Yeah. You've said that in front of however many hundreds of millions listening. Brave, Colin got it right. Yeah. Mm. But I think the Melbourne Cup, you know, because it's so iconically Australian, we live in Melbourne, and you know, if you asked a Queenslander which would you rather call, they'd always say Melbourne Cup, because we live in Victoria, it's a much closer race. But I think in a photo finish, I'd like to call the Cup.
H, before we let you go, who wins the Guineas today? All my mates are on Autumn Sun, says it can't lose. What do you think?
I think the Autumn Sun is the second best horse in Chris Waller's yard. He hasn't been around Caulfield before. He's been going the Sydney way. Caulfield's a tight track. Chris Waller has been training him the Melbourne way of going up in Sydney. I think he's the best horse, and I think he'll win. I think the favourite, Chris Lees, will win the 1,000 guineas. And if you're punters and you're listing and things are going terribly, it's 6:14 in Perth, race 4, Bunbury. This is a serious tip.
Yep, race 4. Yep.
Race 4, Bunbury. Hang on, I'm writing it down, Hamish.
Special reward. It was 250. It's into about 220. I'm sure with your betting partner, whoever it is, you'll be able to boost it up to about 250. Whatever happens, have a crack. You're either going to be further down or out of trouble.
And before we let you go, Everest, who wins that?
I'm a bit of an Anthony Friedman fan. I reckon he's got two horses, Shoals and Sandor Anna Lane. They're both, it's a very open field, $8, $9.
Yep.
Both are going under the radar.
It's wet.
I don't think Redzel's going as well as he was last year. And Vedora, the mare that won at Moonee Valley, she's a terrific mare. But I'm going to have a little each way without any confidence on the Freeman's horses, Shoals and Santa Ana Lane.
Well, Hamish, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us here on Dead Set Legends. Outstanding footy season you had. And this is where you just kick it up another notch as well. So thanks so much for joining us. Your best bet again, race 4.
Bunbury,
special reward.
Please,
we will be all on that. Next hour, Joey, we're going to be talking to Darren Weir, one of the hottest trainers in the country. And, of course, Hamish, you'll be calling for Channel 7 from midday all today. Bruce is up there, of course, in Sydney for the Everest. Stick with Channel 7. And Triple M, of course, all over the Spring Carnival. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna next. Darren Weir on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. We are at Caulfield Race Course, Joey. The gates are open and all the beautiful people are here just gathering their spot up against the fence. It is perfect conditions, of course, for the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas Day in the Carlton Draft Front Bar. Top deck is where we are. Thanks to Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh, the Caulfield Cup Carnival, of course. Turn racing on its head. Tickets at mrcracing.com, of course, Joey. You have you got a hot tip in the first. Well, there's an interesting backstory to this, because you've been jotting down some notes here on your notebook. You really like something in race one.
Well, I'm giving away a little secret to our listeners here. If they are interested in having a little flutter today at Caulfield, in the first race, there's a horse called Wedgetail, trained by Tony McAvoy, having its first start. It's opened up at $10. It's now into $7.
Why?
But the reason why, and it's still good value, is there's an interesting story behind this. It trialed. It's having its first start. Trialed a few weeks ago. But on the list of the horses for the trial, there were two Tony McAvoy horses. So they're wearing the same silks.
Yep.
But they had different caps. One wore a white cap. One wore a black cap. In the list, in the guide for the trial, it got mistaken as being the horse wearing the black cap.
No.
When in fact, it was the horse wearing the white cap. The horse in the black cap in the McAvoy colours ran last. And they thought that was the horse called Wedgetail.
Yes.
When in fact, Wedgetail was the horse in the white cap in the McAvoy colours that won the trial. And it beat horses called Sun City and Unite and Conquer, who came out last week and made their debut and ran first and second at Flemington.
Good horses.
Really good horses. Ran first and second at Flemington. Well, this horse in the trial beat them both. But in the guides, it got mistaken as the horse that came last. So you're getting double the odds of what it should be.
Oh, boy.
They are very confident that this horse is a young little flyer.
Yep.
And it will run very, very well in the first race at Caulfield. So at the moment, you can get $7.
Yep.
It should be a $3 favourite if they actually knew it was the right horse. Nothing illegal. It was just an honest mistake in the guides.
Someone stuffed up.
Someone stuffed it up. But we've got the inside word.
Okay.
The mail is out. So for those of you that are interested in having a little bet, you can't do any worse than maybe race 1, number 4 at Caulfield today, Wedgetail. It won the trial. It's believed that it ran last. Have a little bit each way, and fingers crossed you can start the day with a little bit of play money to get you through the rest of the day.
And I'm on it, Joey. You're on it.
Well, I'm already on it. Okay. I got on yesterday when I heard the little story. So I got nearly $10. So fingers crossed we can start with a good day.
Outstanding. That's going to get our day off to a flyer, we hope, of course, Joey. Now, we have a massive hour coming up as we build up to the Caulfield Guineas Day. Of course, we're speaking to Darren Weir next, Joey. We're going to get his best for the day because he is absolutely on fire. And then a little bit later in the hour, Mitch McCarron. How has he pulled up from that four overtime victory win over Illawarra last night? You'd think that'd be a little bit sore. We'll get the latest on that. But Darren Weir next. We'll get his best bets of the day. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna. We're next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna live at the Carlton Draft top deck. Joey, we're here at the Caulfield Racecourse. It is going to be an absolutely massive day for the Guineas. Perfect conditions, mate. But we're going to talk some more footy right now. An interesting story throughout the week about Nathan Buckley, the Collingwood coach. What a massive year he had. Can you believe he's now taking a three-month break, Joey? So he's taking his family's two young sons over there to Italy and just going to switch off from footy for 3 months. What do you reckon?
Oh, it's fascinating when I heard that. It's just the new age, modern football, isn't it? I mean, these old school coaches would never have thought of doing anything like that in their wildest dreams. But just shows how we continue to evolve as a sport and as a code. And I think it's terrific. Nathan Buckley, I mean, he's been under a lot of pressure for a long time. Being the coach of the Collingwood Football Club, no doubt, has its pressures. We know about last season and the pressures he was under, losing a grand final this year. To have some family time and to leave, have the trust in your assistant coaches to run the program. A lot of the preseason is a lot up to the high performance manager to manage the running loads and the training sessions. So I think it's a great move for Nathan Buckley. Hopefully he comes back nice and refreshed and revitalised, and it's great for his personal development, but also great for the family.
How do you reckon your old mate Rossi Lyon would go with that if the CEO knocked on his door and said, Ross, what do you think about having a three-month break over there in Italy? Just delegate for a few months.
You know what? I think Ross would be open to it.
Yeah?
I think he'd like that. Yeah. I think it's a bit of a misconception. I think Ross can do that, and I think he's gotten a lot better than when he first started, but I think that's with any coach. When they first start coaches, and I think this is a common theme with all of them, I think you're going to even speak to Clarko or any of them, they always feel at the start they've got to have their hands on everything, they've got to be involved because they've taken that responsibility of being the senior coach. They feel they need to be across it. No doubt, as these coaches get more years under their belt, more experience, they get more comfortable in their role, they get more comfortable in delegating, and that's when you see the best of these coaches. So that's why I think sometimes, as an industry, we're still a bit quick to jump off coaches after a few years of no success, and we don't seem to give them another opportunity. I think there are a lot of coaches that have had a crack at first time around that would be better as a coach the second time around for those sorts of experiences. So I think that's something we continue to look at, whether it is a Brett Ratton or a Michael Voss or guys like that that I think have still got a bit more to offer because of the experiences they get the first time around.
What about the hype around Essendon, Joey? So we expect them to clinch the deal for Dylan Shiel. Probably two first-round picks with something back, or a first-round pick from this year, pick 9, I think it is, and maybe a second-round pick. Maybe even Jaden Laverty or a Travis Collier might be involved in the deal. I think their odds have come in from 15 to 11 bucks or something. Essendon, what is achievable for Essendon next year with Joey Danaher back, Cale Hooker and Michael Hurley in defence, and Dylan Shiel driving that midfield next to Dyson Heppel and Zachy Merritt?
I think even before the Dylan Shiel announcement, he wants to go to the club, I thought they should be a top four contender. I think they've got a great looking list in regards to the spine, the young players coming through, the speed and dash. We know how they play now with McKenna and Sardoff half back. I really like them. Shields now, for me, the icing on the cake. They should be aiming for a premiership. They definitely should be playing top four football and having a crack at a premiership. There'll be more expectation now. The pressure will come with that because of the acquisition of Shield, but they should embrace it. I'd be very excited if I'm an Essendon fan. They have no excuses next year, unless, of course, they get a bad run with injuries. But if all things are fair and equal, Essendon will be at the top end of the ladder when the whips are cracking.
The only question mark for me, and you tell me if I'm being too harsh here, Joey, is around the game style. Because Essendon play that electric sort of counter-attacking sort of run-from-defence game style, where everyone else, Richmond, etc., want to lock the ball in the forward half. Essendon is the one club who launch all of their attacks from defence, or a large part of their attacks from defence. Is that going to stand up in September?
Yep, spot on, Jay. If you look at the one stat now to work out how teams are successful. It's the forward half game.
You don't play that.
No, exactly right. You have to get the ball in your front half, and then with the forward pressure and the, you know, setting up behind the ball, you lock it in and you reload until you score again. West Coast did it for three quarters in the grand final. Essendon, that's the one area that they need to tie up. I think that's what this offseason, this preseason will be for. They'll work on their team defence. Fantasia, I think, is important. Their small forwards, Tip and Woody and Fantasia, with their forward pressure is the key. They'll have a strong setup behind the footy. I think if they tidy up that facet of their game, then they've got no excuses.
At the start of this year, Joey, back in March, I asked you, would St Kilda make the finals? You said you were pretty sure they wouldn't.
Yep.
They get Daniel Hannabury pretty cheaply, I must say, for a second-round pick. To help bolster that midfield. Jack Stephen, we think, is staying. They've lost Tommy Hickey. What are your prospects of St Kilda? Is next year, have they got enough quality in there next year to jump up into the eight?
Unfortunately, I don't think so, Jay. It's just too hard. I think the list still needs a bit of work. They still need some more high-end talent coming in. Shield would have been a great get. Obviously, it was a tough to get him to St Kilda. They tempted him with the money, but it's too hard. I mean, if you look at the eight teams that made the finals this year, but the teams that missed out, Adelaide Crows missed out on the finals. They are going to bounce back.
Yep.
Essendon, as I just said, think should be a top four team. The Western Bulldogs, I like their list. Port Adelaide, it's hard to see St Kilda really spiking that much. I think it's going to be a slow build. I think they just need to continually just turn over the list a little bit, find some more talent, play some more of these young kids. I think the talent's there. They've just got to give them more of a chance. The guys like Josh Battle, Rowan Marshall, the two top 10 draft picks last year, Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield. They just need to keep getting more games in. Ben Long, a full season from him, and Jade Gresham. So there is talent.
Yep.
They're just a bit younger than that 23, 25-year-old core that I don't think are quite up to it. So they've just got to invest in the youth, and maybe in a couple of seasons they can be back in the finals.
They've got Billy Slater. Can he wave his magic wand? We love Billy, Joey, but can he be the leadership guru that they need? Can
if he came and played across half back or something like that. But I mean, that's great. I think it's a great get for anyone that's got a standing like Billy Slater in Australian sport.
Yep.
No doubt it's going to be a boost for the leadership of the group and also the staff. But unfortunately, he can't kick a football, so that's not going to help them on the ground too much.
Put him on a back flank, Billy. Chuck the footy boots back on. Hey, Joey, guess what? Next, coming up, we have an odds update with Nick Quinn. He's an absolute guru. Thanks to TAB. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, Nick Quinn coming up next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, we know you love your lawns, Jay-Z. You actually did a whole segment on it a few weeks ago about your lawn.
Yes,
the worst part has to be the edging, fiddling around, trying to get the line or getting it to feed right.
It's tough.
Well, not with the Ego 56-volt line trimmer with power load technology. I got myself one during the week.
It's
the world's first self-winding grass line trimmer. All you need to do is push the feed, push the button, and get back to work. I was even able to work out how to do it myself.
Wow.
I did the whole nature strip. I did five houses and in my front lawn.
Wow.
I did the whole street because it was that easy to use. Looking after the lawn has never been easier. The new Ego 56-volt line trimmer with power load technology. Ego. Power beyond belief.
Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. We are at Caulfield Guineas Day, of course, up here in the Carlton Draft Front Bar Top Deck. Spectacular setting, Joey, as we look over the race course and the winning post here. The people are coming in and we are just set for a fantastic day, Joey. But we have to change tack for a second because last night we know Melbourne United, a 4-overtime victory, one of the absolute best games in NBL history. They won over Illawarra, of course. And on the phone now we have Mitch McCarron, star for the Melbourne United, who had a very important bucket last night. Good morning to you, Mitch.
Good morning. How you going?
Mate, we are well. How are you feeling, more importantly? We'll get to the game in a second, but how are the legs, mate? Because last night's game went on forever, and outstanding that you prevailed. But how are you feeling this morning?
A little bit tired. I think it's a bit emotional as well. You know, you play for that long and you try to keep the high intensity for every overtime. You do it four times and it ends up being, you know, another whole half. So everyone's a little bit tired, but, you know, we'll bounce back and be ready for Sunday.
And Mitch, what a way for you to endear yourself to your new teammates, hitting the go-ahead bucket with 30 seconds to go in the fourth overtime.
Clutch.
That must have been nice for you to make your debut for Melbourne United in that style.
Yeah, it was great. You know, we talked about just doing the little things right. You know, obviously there was a few of us debuting for Melbourne and we just wanted to bring our energy and We had lots of guys contribute at different times last night, which is important. You know, our depth is going to be a calling card throughout the season, and last night showed that.
Casper Ware, I think he played, what, 56 minutes last night, Mitch, an unbelievable effort, and he came up with a big defensive play right at the death. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was big time. That's a lot of minutes in one game. But yeah, I think, as I spoke about before, just the desire to win and everyone doing the little things, and everyone's a little tired, but when you've only got, you know, a couple of minutes left, you can kind of dig in, and Cass gave us a massive play at the hoop, and for a small guy, he's super strong, and he showed that on that play, so yeah, massive.
Mitch, we all, as kids, we all think about hitting that game-winning bucket, which you did. How did you feel in that sort of moment? Were you thinking, like, I cannot miss this, or were you just sort of in the zone? How was your headspace right at that key moment?
Yeah, I think I was just locked in and just, you know, that we needed the free throw, and, you know, obviously, you know, no one's defending you on that shot, and it's not always the easiest shot with the pressure, but if you just lock in, and yeah, obviously really happy to make it, but I think everyone was ready to step up and make one too.
We're chatting to Mitch McCarron, the Melbourne United guard, in their thrilling one-point quadruple overtime victory against Illawarra last night. Mitch, just a general overview of the NBL season. It started, of course, this weekend. If that is a sign of things to come, we're in for probably the best NBL season in a long, long time. Give us a bit of a synopsis of who are the teams to beat and what you're expecting from this NBL season, particularly with the Sydney Kings and the inclusion of Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, well, I think last night showed that anything can happen. I mean, there's so much talent in this league, in every single team. And, you know, we spoke about before the game that everybody had written off Illawarra before the season even started. And last night they showed that they're going to fight till the dying seconds. So I think you can't really discount anybody. But at the same time, obviously Sydney looked great on paper. And I think they're going to be tough, and I think Perth will be great. New Zealand will be really good once they get their stuff together as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. It's too early to discount anybody else, and I think everybody looks really good in the preseason as well, so it should make for a great season.
And, Mitch, how are you going in the locker room? Of course, you move to a new team. You're forming new relationships. Who are the real weirdos there at Melbourne United, and who's your best buddy?
Peter Hooley's a bit of a weirdo. but nah. Everyone's been really great, and that's the thing.
Anyone you need to dob in for doing something annoying, or anyone do any different stuff?
You're trying to get me in trouble early in the season. I'm trying to fit in, mate. I think everyone's been great. You know, settling into a new city, and the club's been awesome. The guys are awesome, and you know, put a high emphasis on culture just because we want to defend the championship and win another one. And you know, our chemistry has to be really high.
Well, mate, we wish you the absolute best for the rest of the season ahead. Of course, you got to bounce back quickly for Melbourne United's home season opener, of course, tomorrow at 2:30, the recently renamed Melbourne Arena, used to be Hisense. Of course, it's Melbourne United versus the New Zealand Breakers. The 2017-18 championship banner, Joey, will be revealed pre-match. There'll be giveaways, non-stop entertainment, 3D court projections, cheerleaders, dancers, more. Great day for the kids, Joey. You got to take Noah down there, maybe. Just sort of, you know, introduce him to the basketball action.
Absolutely. I used to go to the NBL all the time as a kid, the North Melbourne Giants and the Southeast Melbourne Magic, and it was great growing up. So hopefully now all the parents can take their kids and to get this NBL back to where it needs to be at the top.
Tickets available from tickettech.com.au. Thanks so much for joining us, Mitch, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks for the talk, guys. Have a great day.
That's Mitch McCarron from Melbourne United. Nice to get the season off with a close win, Joey.
Absolutely. It's a great start. And as I said, the NBL season is going to be the tightest in recent memory. As Mitch said, every team's got a chance this year. It's an even competition. Sydney Kings, of course, have got Andrew Bogut, probably one of the biggest signings in NBL history. He's going to make a big difference to the Kings with Andrew Gaze coaching for his life. He even admits it himself. So can't wait for the NBL season. It's been growing every year, exponentially over the last 5 years. So looking forward to another great season.
Next, Joe is speaking to Darren Weir. We're going to get his best winners for today, his best chances at victory, of course, here at Caulfield and up at Sydney for the Everest. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna. Next, Darren Weir on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. That's it. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. We are the shortest and probably the most squat of the Triple M teams. Anyone got to speed us?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We are. Oh, just because we couldn't fit into the silks, of course. But that ad is probably spot on. Right now, Joey, we are joined by one of the hottest trainers in the country. Darren Weir, good morning to you, mate.
How are you going?
We are well. Thanks so much for jumping on the line this morning ahead of what is a monster day, of course, for the stable. But let's be honest, I don't want to blow your trumpet too much, Query, but when you're hot, mate. You have had an outstanding start to the spring carnival. You must be feeling good about what's coming up ahead.
Yeah, we have had a good start, and there's only one way you can go, and that's down.
Well, we know you're a realist.
Yeah, anyway, the racing gets tougher as it gets into the spring, but it started off well, but good racing today, amazing fields, and just nice to have horses in them.
Darren, do you get excited like the rest of us spring carnival time? We come to the track and we see the marquees and we get caught up in being able to have a drink and enjoy the day. As a trainer, do you get excited for this time of year, or for you is this just business as usual?
Yeah, it is an exciting time of the year. Obviously, better races. It's obviously what you do it for, to try and have runners in these races and try and win one if you can. And, don't get caught up in the sort of social side of things during the day, but certainly will tonight.
Especially if you have a few wins, Darren. Plenty of prize money this time of year. That's why it's exciting. Just take us through the card quickly. You've got plenty of runners all over the country. Give us a couple of your better bets for the day. We know you've got a couple of runners in the Guineas, in Native Soldier and Leonardo da Hinci. What about some of your other runners you think are a good chance today for those in the car that are on their way to the track?
I'd be thinking Leather and Lace will run well. She's in really good shape. Voodoo Lad, but he's a bit short in the market. And if I was going to back one at a bit of value, I'd probably have something on Crone and Cliff's Edge of the Place.
Beautiful. I like that. And, of course, the big one up at Randwick, the Everest. You've decided to come to Caulfield, not be up there at Sydney. You've got one runner, Brave Smash. That must be exciting for you in the $13 million Everest to have a runner who's in with a life chance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's bloody amazing prize money. And went up and experienced it last year. And I've never been so happy to run third, to be honest. Got 600 grand to run third.
Well, tell us then. Yep.
But he's arrived there in great shape and tough race, but he deserves his spot in it.
And let's go hypothetically. If it does manage to win, how would you like to celebrate? What's your ideal way to celebrate tonight? Do you go to Crown, to one of the restaurants? Do you go? Where would you go to celebrate if Brave Smash wins the $13 million Everest today?
I won't be at the stables for 2 weeks anyway.
Maybe take a holiday.
Yeah, that'd be about right, I reckon.
A couple of quiet tins.
If it happens, don't worry. You'll find out where the celebrations are.
Where is there anything you put down your sort of success to this year? I mean, we sort of often joke about the Warrnambool water and how your sort of property there backs down to the beach and you're always taking your horses through the water. Is there anything, you know, you think you do really well or differently? What do you think is the best part about your stables operations?
We've got a pretty good setup now, I suppose, so that helps. But, we've got better horses this year. It's probably the best team of horses that I've ever had. And, obviously going into the spring carnival as well. So that helps. And you need a bit of luck on your side. You know, you certainly don't need any bad luck anyway at this time of the year. So we've had a bit of luck in the last few weeks. So I guess at some stage it's going to be a tough day or two around the corner. But I'm not sure why we're having a better run. Maybe it's just because we've got better horses, because we're not doing anything different, to be honest.
We've been talking a lot about, in footy sense, Darren, about coaches and reading players' personalities and getting the best out of them. How do you go, with horses' personalities and knowing their little nuances and that sort of stuff? You know, I guess it's a bit of a lifetime skill, but do you feel as if you can pick up how a horse is feeling, how its preparation is going just from being around it?
You certainly do learn their little trades, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And that's the beauty about being there all the time. You get to know them. But one thing that I don't do, when a horse is in form, I never change anything. I just leave. I just do the same thing. I feed them the same. I work them the same. I don't, same people look after them. Obviously they're going well, so I don't want to change anything. But if horses are not going good, I'm certainly a big one to change things. I don't keep doing the same thing. You know, they'll swap from place to place, do different work, feed them differently, you know, just try different things to try and get them on track. So
couple of carrots.
Yeah, a bit of incentive, yep.
Well, sorry, mate, go on.
No, you're all right. You go.
I was going to say thanks so much for joining us. We do have to move on, of course, a massive day here at Caulfield. We wish you the best of luck, of course, Native Soldier, Race 9, the Caulfield Guineas taking on Autumn Sun. All the best to you and the connections today.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Darren Weir. Good man, Joey.
Great man, yeah. Yep. I had a horse with him once. Unfortunately, he didn't work his magic on my donkey. it used to run nowhere, so not even Darren Weir could get that horse to win races, but that's okay. One day I'll get a good horse, hopefully, well, fingers crossed.
Next up, Joey, we're going to get to your tips. We want your best three horses. People in the cars at the moment, give us three tips after this, which are going to have a good chance at saluting today, of course, and our Give Me a Spell, our favourite segment of the week. Joey with the winners coming up next. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. We are live at the Caulfield Racecourse. And you know what, Joey? The Moto GP hits Phillip Island only 2 weeks' time. And we have got the race weekend sorted for one lucky DSL listener. Head to the win page at triplem.com.au to register for the ultimate GP package. The ultimate Moto GP weekend, Joey. Grandstand seating for two. Can you believe that? Paddock tour for two, Joey. Plus a meet and greet with a Moto GP rider. Absolutely amazing. The Michelin Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix, 26th to the 28th of October at Phillip Island. Head to motogp.com.au. What an amazing prize that will be for one lucky DSL listener. Head to triplem.com.au for all the details. Joey, our favourite segment.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Give me a spell, time, Joey. That's where we take aim with someone who's, who's stuffed
just
up.
Just something that's bothered you during the week.
Someone who just needs to lift generally. Yeah. And I might be taking aim at the small people out there. But when I went to the South Melbourne market yesterday, Joey, my wife's on the phone. I got, what am I going to do with the kids? They're sort of ready to leave. We go to the little gelato store and I just want two ice cream cones, little ice cream,
little
chocolate flavour. Cash only on the thing. I had no cash. I had no coins in my wallet. It's what year is it, Joey?
But if you go to the market, you've always got to carry money at the markets.
I didn't have time to get to the
ATM.
Carry some
cash.
There was give me a spell.
Nah, that's give me a spell. Any market you need some cash. You've got to have cash at the markets.
We're in 2008. We're putting people on the moon, Joey. We got the internet and all that jazz. I want people just to have that little. I can just tap my card and move on.
Give me a spell, Jay. Have some cash at the markets. Give me a spell. Just a quick one. What about that Pakistani spin bowler that cleaned us up in the first
innings?
He's a bit of a chucker, isn't he, surely?
Want a review?
I reckon he needs to become. I know he's been come under some investigation about three or four times. Yeah. Seriously, he hasn't changed his action at all. He chucks that.
Another
give me a spell.
Muralitharan.
Oh, absolutely.
Now keep it positive, Joey.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
This Dead Set Legend caught my attention on the Conor McGregor UFC fight with the undercard last week. It's the heavyweight fighter, Derek Lewis. He won the battle, and then his post-match interview is one of the funniest I've heard for a long time. Let's listen to Josh Rogan interview him.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand.
That makes sense. Why'd you take your shorts off?
Sometimes it gets hot, Joey.
That just made perfect sense. He'd just been in a fight for three rounds, and his balls were hot. So good on him. He's my Dead Set Legend of the Week, Derek Lewis, UFC fighter. All that rubbish about Conor McGregor and a bib, but no, Derek Lewis was our Dead Set Legend of the Week. Now to finish, we've got a minute to go. Jay, we just had Darren Weir, the greatest trainer on the earth, talking to him, and he's given us three tips for the day.
Yep.
These are the tips that I want the punters to follow today. Don't listen to me. Let's listen to Darren Weir. First one is race four, number 14, Leather and Lace. Make sure you back that one. When that wins, go to race five, number 2, Voodoo Lad. That's his best of all his tips. It's short, $3.50. Still triple your money.
Yep.
Better than bank interest. And then when that wins, you go to race 6, number 8, Crone. He said that was his best each way bet. You'll get good value there. Back that. So that's race 6, number 8, Crone. Race 5, number 2, Voodoo Lad. Race 4, number 14, Leather and Lace. Oh, then you can shout your wife dinner or your husband dinner. Go out and do whatever you want. Shout the kids dinner.
Yep.
Enjoy your night.
And don't forget Hamish McLaughlin likes something in Bunbury, Joey.
Oh, yes.
If you just sort of want to play around the tracks. Race 4, Bunbury, number 8, special reward.
That's later tonight. That's about 6 o'clock tonight.
Yep. So. Hamish McLaughlin says that wins. Hey, we are at Caulfield Guineas Day. It is going to be an absolutely superb day. Hope you back lots of winners. And if you are at the racetrack, drink responsibly, gamble responsibly, but most of all, have a great day. Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.